The demographic of this parish is such that we have a lot of people who will move in who are young retireds. We all know that. That's a good number of you people, right? And it also means that we have retirement villages. We have a lot of the nursing homes, etc. You know that. But there's people you don't see, too. You don't see the guys at the prison, and you're probably glad about that, that you don't see the 1,200 men, mostly men, few women, who are over at our prison. But they're there. And when the priests go in to have Mass, we can't just go around the prison. You don't have that kind of freedom, even for ourselves, to just go around. We have Mass, and it depends on how the guys have behaved and whether there's lockdown and everything else. The most that can come to Mass at one time is 14. And you technically could do 6 or 7 Masses there a day, but you might do none, you might do one, you might do two. It all depends on security. The great God is security. So sometimes when the guys come, you have time to talk. And when we talk to them, one of the problems they have is they have all the time in the world. Okay? One of the huge problems in the prison, a maximum security prison, it's not a jail, it's a prison, is boredom. So one of the things I like to do with the guys is to teach them how to pray. And, you know, you may not see them for a while, but you know what? They actually do listen. And one fellow came, I hadn't seen him, and it had to be 6 months, and I said, oh yeah, we were talking about prayer, and he said, and I've been praying. I said, that's good. He said, I've been praying like this and like that. He was going through the prayers. We taught him how to say the rosary. He wasn't allowed to have a rosary because you could strangle yourself with a rosary or whatever. But I said, well, that's why the Lord gave you 10 fingers and 10 toes. And I wasn't going to ask whether he had them all yet or not, but I said, the Lord, and so that's how I taught him how to say the rosary. And you may say that's very simplistic, and it was. It was very simplistic. But he said, I've been praying every day. Every day. He said, you know, I got a lot of time. I said, oh, yeah, I know you do. And he said, I've got a lot of time. And he said, you can either think and feel sorry for yourself or get yourself all wound up. Or he said, you can pray. So I decided I'm going to pray. Because who else is going to listen to me here? Nobody. But God's going to listen to me. And I said, well, how do you pray? And he said, well, he said, you said something and I've always remembered it. He said, I never knew who my father was. He said, I never did. Never knew who my father was. He said, life was pretty messy, and I'm not going to get into all the details. He said, it was really messy, and his mother had a lot of problems. But he said, when I say the Our Father, I realize I know who my father is. I have a father in heaven. He said, I don't know if my father's alive or dead, but I have a father in heaven. So I talked to him. I talked to him a lot. I said, oh, and how does he answer? He said, he does answer. He calms me down. And when I get tired of praying for myself, he said, I pray for everybody else. He said, I figured you needed a lot of prayers, Father. You look stressed and you look this and that. And I said, well, maybe I am, you know. And I said, and I do need a lot of prayers. And thank you for praying for me. And he said, okay, I'll keep doing it. And that's true. That's a true story. And I hope and pray he is still doing it. He's not, at least that I know, he's not there, he's not back in there. But I hope that he is still praying. And I hope that you're praying too. I was thinking of this the other day when the catechesis of the Good Shepherd people were getting set up and coming in, and it's not easy to get here from Montreal or London, Toronto, even from Lindsay, or to get things together, or for the instructors to get things together. We all know that. Why are they doing it? They're doing it so they can teach young people about God, in effect, to pray. Everybody who's ever brought children to Mass, why do you do it? When they're little kids. Not just because you can't leave them at home, but sometimes you might wish to, right? You do it so that they can come to know God. Listen to this second reading. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from hot childhood you've known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From childhood, it's part, literally, part of your mother's milk. It's there as part of the culture. When I see parents with little children who can hardly walk, and they bring them in and they put their hands up to the holy water font and teach them to bless themselves, that's the first prayer, the most basic prayer. Does a child know what she's doing? No, doesn't have a clue. But it's part of the culture. It's part of the culture of prayer. It's part of that culture that says, we know that we stand in the presence of God. There is a friend of mine who went to a Christian Brothers school down in Toronto, and classes would be, you know, this and that and every other time. But every hour on the hour, one of the boys would ring a bell, and they'd all, and he'd stand up and he'd said, "Let us remember we are in the presence of God." And he'd sit back down. He'd say, "Well, that's a pretty short prayer." "That's an okay prayer. Let us remember that we are in the presence of God. That's a good thing." I can remember guys that, you know, before they go out to a hockey or to go out on the field for a football game or out on the ice for a hockey game, they'd say, "We're going to have a prayer." Because remember that even in the midst of this, and there can be a lot of bone crunching and everything else, and what's hockey without that? We are still in the presence of God. So that our actions are always a prayer. It's important to remember that. If you look at that first reading, there was Moses in the midst of a battle. They used the terms of Amalek and Israel as the names of the nations, and they were in a battle, and he was praying for the outcome of a battle, and he was tired and weary and unsure. That's why others stepped in, and in that incredibly powerful image, they held up his arms so he could keep on praying, as a priest is praying when we lift up our arms in the great symbol of prayer. You might be tired of praying too. You might say to yourself, "I can't keep praying, especially because I don't know how long the Lord is going to be before he answers as for what I want for an answer." How many of you have prayed in season and out of season, right? As St. Paul says, we're called to pray as individuals, but we're also called to pray as a people. We're called to pray for each other. And I wish and I hope that your life is so great that you can just say, "Man, I can just cut my motor and coast." I hope you have a life like that. But most of us don't. And if you do have a life like that, there's lots more people you can pray for. If you run out of people to pray for, remember me, okay? We are called to be a people of prayer. And we're called to be a people of prayer that are persistent. Persistent. Just like that widow. Hey, with that judge, "I don't care about God nor man, but to get this woman off my back, I'll give her what she wants." What an image that our Lord says, eh? What an image. He's saying that's what you have to be like. To storm heaven. It was Saint Therese of Lisieux, whose statue's at the back, who looks so saintly and so otherworldly. She said, "You got to storm heaven with your prayers." What an image, eh? She was a warrior, a prayer warrior in her own right. We're called to be prayer warriors in our own right, too. And I often say that to people when we visit them, if they're housebound or sick or in prison. I say, "Well, pray for us. Pray for us because we need you to pray for us." So many times people are distracted. You got to make a living. You got to keep it together. You know, and when you finish keeping it together, you've got your children's children to take care of and everything else. Isn't that true? Sometimes when I say, ask people who are retired to do something, they say, "I'm busier now than when I was working." You know? But sometimes the Lord gives you that space to pray. And if you are too busy, I remember my father. My father was a very busy man. He really was. He was a busy guy trying to keep it together. But he had a rosary that he said all the time. He would wait for my mother outside the school here a lot. He said when my father's homily at his funeral, I said, "There are those who do the work of God and those who wait for those who do the work of God." And he never listened to the radio. He didn't read the paper much in the car. He prayed while he was in the car. And he prayed while he was on the tractor. And that's a good place to pray. Because every place is a good place to pray. Every place where you are now, and in a few hours, and next week, or whenever, is also a good place to pray. Because together, if we persevere in that prayer, as we are called to persevere in that prayer from the very beginning of our childhood, then it's necessary for us then to recognize that that patience, which is the patience of the people of God, will be heard and will be answered. It does take persistence, it does take perseverance, and it does take patience. But the product is this, that prayer changes us as well. If we are a people of prayer, if we are persons of prayer, it changes us. And that prayer is such that it is going to be different for you and for someone else. And you know why? Because God loves you differently than the person you're sitting beside or behind. He has known you from the very moment of your creation. And you have a different and a unique relationship with God. And of course your prayer is going to be different. And then in that astonishing chorus of prayer that will go up, out of all of these unique voices and unique tongues, There is one great chorus of praise. That great chorus of praise will be heard and will be answered, because that's the promise of the Lord.